Welcome to Community Alert. Not if, but when. Positive preparation for disaster with Ted Adams and Mike Williams. Keeping you informed on how to get ready and be prepared. Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 9 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. on AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Hey, folks. Welcome to another edition of Community Alert. I'm Ted Adams. My co-host is Mike Williams. And today we're visiting with Chief Bill Braga, who is the Sebastopol Fire Department Chief. And he's coming to us on the air. He's on the phone with us. And welcome, Chief. Nice to have you with us.
Well, Ted and Mike, thank you very much. Once again, I wanted to apologize last week for your viewers, your listeners. It was just one of those mornings where I ended up having four 911 emergency calls, and I couldn't get back to you, and I apologize.
No problem. Just makes it more people interested in the program today.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, Mike.
Well, we got a couple of announcements to get out for before we get into today's discussion. From Santa Barbara Public Health Department, Santa Barbara County distemper warning, vaccinate your pet. For further information on what you should be doing with your pet, get a hold of the county at 681-5102, 681-5102, or visit their website at countyofsb.org, countyofsb.org. Some things going on there. Also visit their website for further information on what you need to do with vaccinating your pet. What is the health of our community? Also from the Santa Barbara County Public Health Department, three behaviors, poor diet health, physical inactivity, and tobacco use continue to be the major leaders of problems here in Santa Barbara County. Four diseases, vascular disease, cancer, lung disease, and diabetes, also causing over 50% of our local deaths. For a copy of the report, visit their website at countyofsb.org. That's countyofsb.org. And finally, from the Santa Barbara County Benevolent Society, Santa Barbara Firefighters Charity Fund, Texas Hold'em Benefit Poker Tournament, Sunday, April 13th, 2014, at the Carriage Museum. Benefiting Santa Barbara Firefighters and the Charity Fund, barbecue at high noon, and tournament starts at 2 p.m. sharp. Donation $75 a person. Prizes awarded to the final table of participants. For specific information, visit their website at IAFF525.org. That's IAFF525.org. Their contributions, of course, are tax deductible. This again on April 13th, 2014, Texas Hold'em, benefiting the Santa Barbara Firefighters Charity Fund. And with that, let's get into today's program so I can get rid of my glasses here. I'm still trying to get used to reading with those things, and obviously I'm not
doing
well.
Well, at least you can see it.
Yeah. Well, I can see it now. Now it's a matter of adjusting and focusing and holding it at the right. Yeah, it's too much. It's engineering required. Chief, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the air. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. Well, before we get into nuts and bolts, let's talk a little bit about where you're located up there in Sonoma County.
Oh, we are in the beautiful county of Sonoma, the wine country as it's known. We're about an hour's north of San Francisco, Golden Gate Bridge. And again, in the beautiful wine country, which is kind of interesting because my dad's an apple grower. He still grows and harvests Gravenstein apples and other variety of apples. And I was born and raised and actually became a farmer before I had to work for a living. But it's a beautiful, beautiful area, beautiful country up here, and we absolutely love it. Born and raised, I'm a local boy, and I just love it here.
So what type of fire department do you have there in the city?
Well, we are other than myself, I'm the only paid career position here as a paid fire chief, fire marshal. I take on both responsibilities. So fire marshal, fire inspector, chief bottle washer, whatever you need done around the station. But we're an all-volunteer department. I have 30 members from young age 18 up to I've got some folks that have retired out and still volunteer here with me, and they're in their 70s. So it works out really, really good. We have a nice, variety of volunteers here.
Well, I just wrote an article called The Dragons of Change, Volunteers and Emergency Services. It ran yesterday in the News Press. And I'm curious as to how do you do your recruitment up there? Because Sonoma is one of the counties that's going through some major growth spurts, and life is changing up there.
You know, we really are. And it's funny, when I look back, we were a fire department that we had a hard – it was funny. We struggled with bringing in the youth, and I'm not sure exactly why that is. The city of Sebastopol at that time had recruitment requirements that you had to be 21 years of age or older, and you either had to live in the city limits of Sebastopol or work in the city limits of Sebastopol. I've been with the department for 30 years. I became the full-time paid fire chief 3 years ago, and I think the first motion that I made, and I had to go to city manager, city council, but I lowered the age from 21 to 18 so we can start bringing some youth in here, and I opened up the boundaries. It's really difficult, as you know, to recruit, to bring in new members. We have an excellent training program, state-of-the-art equipment. The city is good to this fire department. And we're saving the city probably $3 million a year by keeping it a volunteer department. So, Mike, what's interesting is, and Ted, I don't necessarily have to go out and recruit, although I do. I actually have a waiting list. I'm fortunate enough to say that I have a waiting list of volunteers that would like to join this department.
Outstanding.
Well, that's a compliment to your organization, because that's certainly not true in the volunteer service in general.
It's not. No, absolutely.
You know, the issue of residency is interesting, because that was pretty predominant throughout California. You had to be 21. You had to have certain eye and vision. This was true in law enforcement, too. And you had to either live in the city or, in some cases, be within 30 minutes of the city.
Right.
It used to be that way in Lompoc. I don't know if they finally dropped that requirement or not. Certainly, you can see where the arguments are for that, particularly with volunteer firemen. On the second hand, people can't frequently afford to live in the communities they work in.
Correct.
So that becomes, especially in a volunteer environment. So what type of people are you looking for as a fire chief, as volunteers? What do you see as the model volunteer firefighter?
You know, Mike, I see a mix. And over the years, again, with my 30 years, 27 of those years, I was the volunteer along with my other 30. And the mix that I see and that I'm recruiting for is, I would like to see more youth, the 18, 19, 20-year-olds, be interested in joining this department. There was a fear some years back, and there was a reluctancy to bring on the youth, of this fear of, you know what, Bill, we're going to bring them on, we're going to invest $3,000 to $5,000 to get them outfitted with turnout gears and wildland gear and all the medicals and all that. They're going to stay with us for maybe 6 months, 12 months, and then they're going to move on to a career department. That was kind of a philosophy, kind of a statement that we were making. And when I became chief, I changed that. I said, you know what? I encourage the 18-year-olds to apply. And if I can help them move on to a career department, I'm a firm believer that, you know, what comes around goes around and vice versa. They may go out and become a career firefighter somewhere and possibly end up living in Sebastopol. They work 8 to 10 days a month, and those other 20 days, they can help me out. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it on the youth side. And then the balance is having us old-timers like myself. You know, I've got members that are 30 years of service, 35 years of service. And just to have that history, to have that breath, that knowledge, I think it's a nice balance, and I think that's why we are a very popular department, and in such, I have a waiting list of volunteers.
Well, we're up to our first break here. When we come back, we'll get into what do you look for in the way of qualifications, training, and what people could expect in the as the career of volunteer firefighter. Visiting today with the Chief Bill Braga from the Sebastopol Fire Department on Community Alert with Ted Adams, Mike Williams, Richard Dugan working the board for us on Community Alert. Not if, but when. Positive preparation for disaster. Live on the internet at newspress.com on KZSB AM 1290, your Santa Barbara News Press Radio.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Community Alert. I'm Ted Adams. My co-host is Mike Williams. And today we're visiting with Chief Bill Braga of the Sebastopol Fire Department, talking about volunteers in the fire industry and a lot of other things that have to do with firefighting. Northern California, Sebastopol's just north of San Francisco, as many of you know. And thanks for being with us, Chief.
Well, Chief, for the person that's listening to us today that's not familiar with the Volunteer Fire Service,
right?
What is the expectation of a recruit? What are you looking for? They come in, they take their application, they fill it all out. What's the process that you have up there?
Well, that's a good question because I'm very passionate about the this department in particular, but I think the fire service, across the board. What I look for and the first thing that I do is when I have an applicant that comes into the station here, I actually bring them into my office and pretty much close the door and have a pretty nice one-on-one. I share with them not only the passion that I have in this, and I don't expect someone off the street that's just looking to volunteer to have the same passion, but when I start getting into the commitment, that's what really changes, and that's where I'll see the pendulum swing. The commitment that I share with all new applicants, either recruits that are going through the process or someone just coming off the street and say, hey, Bill, I live in Sebastopol. I'd like to help you out whenever I'm available. That doesn't work for us. When you join this department, like most other volunteer fire departments, You're issued a fire pager. You're on call 24/7. I made a comment a couple of weeks ago because I had I was honored at a city council meeting for 30 years of service with the city of Sebastopol. I made a comment that went out in the local Press Democrat. I hope I didn't ruffle too many feathers, but I honestly feel that being a volunteer and being on call 24/7. Is a little bit more difficult and harder to manage and to be a good volunteer than it is in a career department. Career departments, and don't get me wrong, I love them all. They're great departments. They're great men and women, but they go to work. They work their one or two shifts, and then they're off for, let's say, 4 days. Up here in Northern California, they're on a 2x4 schedule, on 2 4, 48 hours and off 4. Our men and women and all the other volunteers, I think, across the nation, they're on call 24/7, 365. It doesn't matter if it's Christmas morning and you're opening up presents and the pager goes off, or Thanksgiving and you're eating your dinner. The pager goes off, you're expected to drop everything and to respond to the station to help out. And I make that very clear to all prospective candidates or applicants that this is a huge commitment. It's not that you can come and help out 1 hour a week or 2 hours a day. That's not how this program is set up. Now, maybe other volunteer fire companies do it that way, but that's not how it's done here. So I make it very clear on the commitment to be a volunteer for Sebastopol Fire. So I kind of set the stage right off the bat.
Well, and I think that's good because you take the commitment of responding to calls and being available. You've also got the training commitment.
Oh,
and
my God.
It's huge. And there's been substantial changes in the works right now in California with Firefighter 1 and Firefighter 2 and the number of hours and the accreditation and certification process that's coming in behind it, coupled with what's going on at the federal level with wildland. And then you have all the ancillary specialties, confined space, hazardous materials, EMT, on and on and on it goes.
Yes.
You're constantly in training, and the training is not broken down by whether or not you're a career individual or you're a volunteer or you're a seasonal or extra help. It's all the same for everybody.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you made mention of that because we have our own fire academy in-house. So if you join Sebastopol Fire, excuse me, you will be put through our own in-house. It's very close to a typical Firefighter 1 academy. And so those certifications are required. You're required to be a minimum of a first responder, preferably an emergency, you know, medical technician, an EMT.
Right.
And then all of the other, as you mentioned, all the other state requirements. And quite honestly, that list is so long, even for volunteer fire companies, that it is almost impossible to satisfy all of the requirements, OSHA and state and all the other mandated trainings. It's almost impossible. We train once a week and sometimes on all day on Saturdays just to keep our head above the water.
Well, you know, the irony is it's also almost impossible for the career departments because they've got a finite number of people on duty at any one time. They have to pay overtime if people are coming in or they're having to backfill station assignments or what have you.
Correct.
And you almost need a battalion of people that rotate into the training battalion every quarter just to be able to stay current. And only large municipalities have the luxury of being able to do that. And I think they're even losing that luxury. It brings up the issue of training in general. Do you think we're overtraining?
I don't, you know, honestly, Mike, I don't think we're overtraining. I think what we are focusing on here within Sebastopol, we call it back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much training. You know, I tend to agree with you in somewhat because there is so much out there and there's so much in requirements that we tend to forget and not do enough of our basic training. I mean basic as in standard residential one-story structure fire. We train on that. We train on pulling up to the call, to the house, give a report on conditions. And I want my crew to know exactly what they need to do every single time they go up there. And there's so much other training that goes on throughout the year. We tend to not forget about back to basics, but we don't spend enough time on it.
I heard a fire chief here locally in Santa Barbara comment on that very issue. We trained so much, we forgot how to pull a 150-foot live line.
Yes, exactly. That's a perfect synopsis right there.
Well, our friends over at the National Fire Protection Association report that 1.1 million firefighters, emergency medical services responders, out of that, 69% are volunteers. That's actually shocking in both directions. One, it used to be over 75% just 2 years ago. But more importantly, the question of, with everything post 9/11, what are we doing with almost 75% of our emergency services being volunteer? And that's a broad-based word because
sure.
That's a lot of paid part-time people and stuff that compensate for volunteer. But do you think that's a trend that needs to be changed?
Well, I think it does. I'm not sure how to do that. We're going to continue doing what we're doing here in this city and I think in this county too. I think there's 15 volunteer fire companies, VFCs, that report into, as you mentioned, Roberta McIntyre with the Sonoma County Department mm-hmm. of Emergency Services. So there's 15 volunteer fire companies there. Oh, I'm a city fire department. There's a city of Santa Rosa, city of Petaluma, city of Healdsburg. There's probably a half dozen city fire departments. There's a half dozen fire protection districts. I agree. I think we all need to. I don't know where the venue would be, but I think we need to sit down and take a hard look of where this is headed. And it sounds like though, Mike, and you guys are doing a lot of that work for us, and we appreciate that.
Well, we're trying, and I think as we talk about what's going on throughout California, not specific to one area, there are some common areas and there's some very unique areas. Sonoma County is really quite much ahead of the curve in many different ways. We'll come back and talk about that in a little bit. We've got to come on our next break here. Ted Adams, Mike Williams, Richard Dugan working the board for us on Community Alert, Not If, In Positive Preparation for Disaster. KZSB AM 1290, your Santa Barbara News Press Radio. We'll be back after these announcements.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Community Alert. I'm Ted Adams. My co-host is Mike Williams. Today we're visiting with Bill Braga, who's the fire chief at the Sebastopol Fire Department just north of San Francisco, talking about volunteers and a lot of things about the way volunteers get involved in their departments and this particular department's take on the whole volunteer situation. Chief, do you have more than one station in Sebastopol, or is it just...
We just have the one main station here, and now we have a lot of the volunteer fire companies outside of the city limits bump up against our district. We have a very large city of Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
We bump up against theirs. We have mutual aid. We have auto aid agreements, and all those work wonderfully. They really do during the day, and I know, Mike, you could definitely attest to this, but during the day, Monday through Friday, here I am, the paid fire chief, sitting in my desk doing administrative work. Pager goes off. I don't always know how many guys are going to show, even for me, even for this department, even with the waiting list of people to get on. But fortunately for the auto aid agreements and the mutual aid agreements, if I have a reported structure fire, vehicle accident, extrication, a major type call, thank God I know that I have, including the city of Santa Rosa and a couple of the outlining combination departments, they're already en route to my city, and that makes me sleep well at night.
Well, I remember a few years ago, I go through your area quite often. I have family in Mendocino out on the coast, and I remember a few years ago when you had the lightning strike situation up there.
Yes.
And I'm sure you remember it as well.
Multiple fires.
It was amazing, and they had 60 fires going up there that they couldn't even address. It was a huge situation. And also those folks out there, they're not really as well trained and as used to responding as you folks are. You know, I mean, they train, but the training is a little different, and they're a little more hang loose country boys, and they really had their hands full, and quite a period.
I do remember that time, and quite honestly, we were even challenged at that point in time too.
Well, just trying to choose which fires you're going to address, you know, that's got to be a difficult one.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, when we talk about recruitment, we need to also look at retention, and that's also becoming a bit of a challenge because people get into this and they realize either they're not cut out for it, or this is more than they bargained for, or, my God, I didn't realize the fire was that hot. I mean, there's a variety of experiences that people go through that tend to be dealt with in the career side at the academy training stage, but in the volunteer world, it may take a while before that sinks in. How do you deal with the retention side?
A very, very good question, and again, I think we've been very fortunate, and being a city fire department, even though we're a volunteer fire department, we are highly supported and funded, and I'll share that with you here shortly, by our city. The city department heads, city manager, and I report into the city manager and dotted line to the city council. But they also know, the city also knows, they're saving, and I'll give you this figure. We are compared, our city is compared to the city of Healdsburg. Size, volume, we're running about 900 calls now a year. We average about 3 a day. And we're compared to the city of Healdsburg. At one time, they were all volunteer. Now they're a paid career department that has a few volunteers that help out. Their fire budget is $3.8 million. I know that's small compared to probably some of the budgets that you have seen. My fire budget is $800,000. So we truly were saving the city $3 million a year to have this department. But I got to say, they're good to us. If I need expensive extrication equipment, which we carry, I can buy it. If I need a new fire engine and we're on a replacement program, I can buy it. They've never really told me no on anything that I've asked for, as long as it's in line with what we need. But on the retention side, the city has also helped us out by allowing me to budget on the salary end of it. I pay my volunteers. The volunteers for the city of Sebastopol gets $13 for every call that they at least respond to at the station. If they come to the station and our engine has already pulled out to run that call, they sign up on a sign-up list, and they'll be paid for that call. We train every Thursday night, probably 50 nights or 50 Thursday nights out of the year, and they get $12.50 for a training night. And then we have special things, Apple Blossom Parade, 4th of July festivities, and they get paid for that. And also what has really helped with the retention, and I know a lot of people will say, hey, Bill, we don't do this for the money. And I truly believe that they don't do it for the money, but I think there's a percentage of volunteers that if you take the money away, I probably would lose some volunteers as other departments would.
Well, there's the real cost associated with volunteering. It's very difficult to find an organization today where you can donate your time and it's not costing you something in the process. And being a firefighter, for sure, because you've got to invest in a lot of your own individual training and equipment to some extent.
Correct. Now, we have been fortunate, this, and I'll be rewriting or resubmitting a new SAFER grant, the Staffing for Adequate Fire and Emergency Response. Well, we have been fortunate. This is our second SAFER grant, a four-year SAFER grant. So I'm on my eighth year and final year for this grant. But this grant was written for all-around retention and not about recruitment at all. It's to retain these volunteers. And how we're helping out the volunteers for the city of Sebastopol is it's based on call volume. The more calls you respond to, the more money I can give you through the SAFER grant. And how I do that is it's based upon a dollar value that we have placed on every call that we respond to, regardless if it's a lift assist or a working structure fire. There's $100 that I can pay out per call. So on the average at night on a medical call, I might get five guys to show up. Now I'm getting 10 to show up because there's a little bit of a money incentive there. And what it does, Mike and Ted, it helps pay out-of-pocket expenses that these volunteers incur.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I tell you what, I maintain my 30 members. I have a waiting list. And when I was a volunteer, I don't mind saying this, when I was a volunteer, my check, just as a volunteer alone, for call volume and for drill attendance, was I pay the guys and gals every 6 months, and my check averaged $5,000 every 6 months. So there's $10,000. I'm not saying everyone gets $10,000, but if you really work hard and if you can participate and respond to a majority of the calls, there's definitely a financial incentive. And with the SAFER grant, I can help them pay for co-payments on medical, dental, vision, child care, adult care, any out-of-pocket expense that they could submit to me, then I can in turn help them out through the SAFER grant. It has been the best grant that this city, that we, our department, has ever received.
Oh, and the SAFER grants are used all over the country, and they've been very generous with SAFER, and I know the president was looking at cutting some of the funding for the Firefighter Assistance Grants Program, but I think SAFER stayed solvent, didn't it?
It has. However, we did receive an email from FEMA stating that the funding of SAFER grants is being cut. We don't know what that means, but they basically say when you have an application, a grant window opening, go for it, because there's going to be fewer, unfortunately, there will be fewer and fewer of us that will be recipients of that SAFER grant, and that's very sad. That's sad news. I actually, in turn, I'm working on next year's budget, which begins July 1 for a fiscal year. I'm adding into that budget, not sure if it could be funded or not, but I'm putting it out there that if I cannot receive any more FEMA assistance through SAFER, I'm asking for the city to help to continue this program. I think it's important enough for retention to continue this program.
Well, absolutely. You were talking about Healdsburg. I've been to their station. They've got a beautiful facility.
Beautiful
up
station,
there.
Yes.
But they also got a very unusual and highly congested fire risk down there at the southeast corner of town up in those hills.
Oh, yes,
and,
they do.
They got some challenges that are not unusual to what we have here in Santa Barbara. We should come back and talk about some of this here after our break on Community Alert, Not If But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster. Live on the internet at newspress.com on KZSB AM 1290 Santa Barbara. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to Community Alert. I'm Ted Adams. My co-host is Mike Williams. Today, we're visiting with Bill Braga, who's the fire chief at Sebastopol Fire Department, about an hour north of San Francisco, talking to him about volunteerism and training programs and how the system works up there for him and with his son. He's doing an incredible job up there in the city. Mike.
Well, Chief, I went up to with Ronnie Coleman up to Washington. We met with the folks that run emergency reporting, which is a big data CAD community-aided dispatch support system company.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Does all the NEFRs and CFRs stuff. Anyway, one of the statistical columns that we suggested that they add was how much property was saved, how many businesses were able to remain in business, and you know, the positive side of what the fire service does, because it really isn't quantified in any way. We generally, property damage and losses, and you know, we're real good on that side of the equation, but we don't really wave the flag as to the fact that we saved the store and they stayed in business.
Correct.
And or that we had enough people in place that instead of losing a whole block, we were able to contain it to a dumpster or whatever the case may be. I think those numbers would be very helpful as we go out for grant funding as well as our sustainability, because we could prove our case a little bit, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and those are stats that I myself am working on putting together. And, of course, with the new fire code that really was blessed in came out in 2013 but implemented July 1st of 2014 with you know, automatic sprinklers for mm-hmm. residentials and all new residential and of course businesses and stuff. There's a lot of stats out there that I would love to be able to send in and, you know, and report on.
Well, we suggested to them that they set up some columns along those lines, because that would open up a whole new way of presenting the value of the fire service, and certainly for volunteers, when you look at how much property and assets they protect and how much they were able to save on any given incident based on the probability of it having done something different had they not been there. I think that would be a very helpful thing.
I think it would, too. And in fact, that's very interesting, because what we truly today, we report the opposite.
Correct.
We report what the losses were.
Well, that's what the insurance company wants to see. And I can understand that. But what the finance guy wants to see is, how do I justify these $500,000 trucks?
Well, that's a good point. And in fact, our 105-foot aerial truck that we purchased in 2004 for $650,000, today, if I was to go to Pierce Manufacturing, who we bought that from, it's $1.2 million. That very same ladder truck is $1.2 million. It's incredible. They're beautiful apparatus, fire engines and trucks and all that. And we need them. I just don't know how some departments can truly pay for those.
Well, in my article that I wrote yesterday, Dragons of Change, Volunteers in Emergency Services, I referred several times to an article in the 2014 edition, February edition, I should say, of FryerEngineering.com. And the author had made several recommendations as to things that could be done to enhance the survivability of the volunteer fire service, or I would argue the entire fire service. And one of them was the change of strategies, approaching things in a different way. He calls it tactical restrategies. With less staff and less equipment and what have you, we're kind of being forced into doing that. For the volunteer service, I would suggest that might actually be an easier thing to do. What do you think?
You know, that's definitely something I think it's something to look into. You know, again, I'm a new fire chief, 30 years with the department, but 3 years as a fire chief. And I really appreciate, Mike, the articles that you have put out and Ronnie Coleman and others. I'm always looking. I'm always trying to figure out what to do next. There are times that I'm at home at night in bed, and what keeps me up at night are things like that, and retention, but it goes along with the job. We are fortunate with our with the equipment that we own, the certifications that we require, the insurance service office, the ISO rating.
Right.
I don't even know, Mike, quite honestly. I'm not even too sure if they even look at that today. I tell the homeowners in this city, pass this information on to your homeowner's insurance carrier. Our rating is 3. It's one of the lowest, which is the best way to go, ratings in Northern California is what I was told. But unfortunately, I've been told, too, that when a homeowner calls their insurance carrier and say, hey, by the way, City of Sebastopol Fire Department, they have an ISO rating of 3, the carrier says, oh, we don't even look at that anymore. And that's disturbing.
Well, some do and some don't. And the other issue is the ISO rating pattern of the process has been completely changed. And they've changed the way they rate. And to be a number 3 with volunteers is incredible. That's a great achievement.
It really is. Yeah, we're very proud of that. But it truly disappoints me when I find out after I praise the department and I pass that on to homeowners, and we have an annual pancake breakfast here. That's our only fundraiser that we do to help offset some of the costs here. You know, and I let everyone know. I even have it on a board outside when they're waiting in line to come get their pancakes. Hey, we are an ISO 3. Share that with your insurance carrier, and hopefully you might get a premium, you might get a discount or two. And I've had them come back to me and say, sorry, Chief, it doesn't work. So.
Well, for those that are listening and don't know what we're talking about, I mean, an ISO rating of 3 is extraordinary for volunteer in small municipalities under the best of circumstances. And an ISO rating type 1 department would be like Los Angeles City.
Correct.
Or L.A. County. I mean, that's the size that you have to be able to get to a 1 with all of the requirements that they put in. And I'm not even sure what the difference is between a 1 and a 2.
I can't figure that one out either. I tried to go on and see what those differences are. I mean, I would love to. We've been a 3 for a while. We're proud of that. But the question came up at one of my board meetings. Hey, Chief, what's it take to become a 2? What's it take to become 1?
Well, more than they want to spend. But when you look at most of volunteer fire departments are either 6, 7s, or 9s.
Correct.
And most of them running at 9. So and that's because they don't have municipal water systems. So, I mean, you got to have that to be able to at least get below out of a 9. So,
yes.
But we talk about fire loading and the potential for risk, and I don't know about your specific city. I do know a little bit about Healdsburg. You got some real challenges there. You could have your own little Oakland Hills fire or Bel Air fire up there.
We do, and fortunately for my district, within the city limits, and I share that we have a population of just pushing about 8,000 in population, and we do see an increase of that for tourism coming through in the summer months and the wine country months. Square miles, maybe 2 square miles. So we're not in the wild land interface that unfortunately City of Healdsburg and some of these other outlining departments face, and that truly would keep me up at nights worrying about that. We have our own little vegetation issues here in the city. I have a weed abatement program that I enforce throughout the year. But other than that, we're in pretty good shape when it comes to that particular type of issue that, like, the city of Healdsburg faces every day. And it would be very similar to the Oakland Hills fire that they had.
Right. Yeah, I know. I remember talking to a battalion chief in Long Beach. He said, "What's a bush?"
Exactly.
That was back when they were doing a lot of their wildland urban interface training because of the mutual aid requirements that they have up here in Santa Barbara and Ventura, because they don't really have any urban interface down Long Beach. But with that, we're up to our next break. We'll be back in just a minute on Community Alert. KZSB AM 1290, your Santa Barbara News Press Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Community Alert. This is our last segment. I'm Ted Adams. My co-host is Mike Williams. Today we're visiting with Bill Braga, who's the fire chief for Sebastopol Fire Department, about an hour north of San Francisco, talking about those departments that all volunteer and interesting stuff. Mike.
Well, Chief, at three calls a day, at 365 days a year, you're well exceeding the 500 call limit that, that most experts consider the time to start looking at career people. What type of commingling of staffing are you looking at in the future and funding for that?
Hey. You know, if any of my guys, especially some of the more vintage ones here, the older guys, may disagree with me on this, but one of the things that keeps me up at night too, when I have my restless nights, is I don't know. Based upon three calls a day, you know, over 900 calls a year, we have well exceeded that magic cutoff of remaining as an all volunteer fire company, fire department, going to and moving to become at least a combination department. And a goal that I have as a fire chief before I retire, and I think I have about six more years. I'm going to retire out at 65 if I can make it that far. is I want to begin, and I'm starting the discussions now with city manager and city council. I truly feel that years ago we crossed over the line. Today we should be a combination department. I need help during the day, Monday through Friday. I'm in good shape at nighttime. I'm in good shape on the weekends. But Monday through Friday, when most of my volunteers are working and I have to rely on them to leave their jobs, it gets tough. I would like to budget this department, and I'm asking already for city council to start thinking. I just want to plant the seed and find out what the cost would be to have a couple of members on full-time here during the day. I think if I could have that, I would be able to sleep better at nights.
Well, you know, combination departments have been around for eons, and certainly sounds like you're a good candidate for that, to have some people there. You can't do it all yourself.
Yeah, that is correct. Now, we do, you know, I had mentioned earlier in the program, we do have auto aid agreements and mutual aid agreements, but those are for the major type calls, the structure fires, the wildland fires, an extrication vehicle accident type call. But for my everyday call, and Mike, I'm sure you know this percentage, we're probably up in the 65-70% of our calls are medical related. The city of Sebastopol, we are an older community. We respond on more lift assists and medical emergencies than any other call. But I think you probably see that possibly nationwide.
Well, you do. You see it everywhere. And yet that's also where burnout starts to kick in, and that becomes a recruitment retention problem in and of itself, is because of the type of calls.
Absolutely.
Those calls are time demanding. They don't sound like a lot of dramatics, because there's not, but you spend a lot of time standing around emergency rooms.
You do. And my poor volunteers, they get up at midnight, 2, 4, 6 in the morning, to help someone off the floor, but that's what we do. You know, we do that, and we're okay with that. But when we do that night after night after night, or you know, afternoon calls, lift assist calls, we have quite a few of those calls. You mentioned burnout, and I can see that in some of my members, and I have to be very careful and very cautious about what I'm seeing.
Well, Chief, we're up to our last 2 minutes. Any closing thoughts you have before we have to let you go?
Well, you know, again, I really appreciate an opportunity for me to talk about the city of Sebastopol's volunteer fire department. I'm very proud of this department. Again, been here for 30 years. I have no place to go. I reached a goal of mine to become a fire chief somewhere in Sonoma County, and I was happy enough to be offered the position here in the city of Sebastopol. So dream come true for a local boy growing up in this community.
Well, you're an inspiration to a lot of people, Chief. It's really great to hear you talk about your community and how you've been working with it, and I think it's a great thing that you've done with yourself.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun, and you guys do a great job. Thanks for reaching out and touching the community members. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again sometime.
Take care.
It's our pleasure talking today with Chief Bill Braga, Sebastopol Fire Department, on Community Alert, Not If But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster. The news is next on KZSB AM 1290. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.
This has been Community Alert, Not If, But When. Positive Preparation for Disaster with Ted Adams and Mike Williams. Community Alert is produced by the Wildland Residents Association, San Marcos Pass Volunteer Fire Department, and sponsored by the California Fire Safe Council. Technical support for Community Alert provided by Richard Dugan and Jim Williams. Community Alert, Not If, But When. On KZSB AM 1290, your news press radio station.